Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Young F. A. Holmes. These niggas so scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30, I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money, I'm getting money. These niggas
so all right, welcome back to Don V. Fridays on a special Miami week. This will be the last time we play Miami until 2026. Drip, how you living, Chief?
Good, man. About to make the journey coming up tomorrow, going down to Tech. So hopefully to see everybody, get the full experience for my first time in Blacksburg. I haven't been to a Virginia Tech game either in a long time. It's been, I think the last game I went to was when they played at Notre Dame back in like 2017 or 2018. So I'm excited. Hopefully, you know, first
was that the one with QP, the QP game?
No, I don't think so.
The Gerard game?
It was. I think it was Gerard.
Okay, the one
I think
we
it
won.
Was Gerard. Yeah, the one we won. The one we came back and won. We were down.
Okay, yeah, that was the Gerard game.
I had to leave that game because I just fucked up my knee in basketball practice like 2 days before that, and it was cold as shit that night in South Bend. My knee was like icing up, and I couldn't stand. So, and I was in the student section at the time because my buddy went to Holy Cross, and Holy Cross students get season tickets, like student tickets for Notre Dame. But yeah, I left the game thinking we were gonna get blown out. We get back, turn the game on, and then they come back and win. And I was like, "Fuck,
big Mook Reynolds."
Yeah, yeah. Cam Phillips had a hell of a game that day
big
too.
Big Cam Phillips, big Gerard Evans team going on.
So I'm excited to see Blacksburg, see everybody. Hopefully, if you listen to this, and if you're there, hopefully I see you. If you see me, you probably won't know it's me, but I'll try to say hi to everybody. So yeah, we'll get something going.
You're making the pilgrimage. You know you got to have a turkey leg.
Oh, turkey legs.
We gotta make a checklist. A Blacksburg, you gotta have a rail from Tots.
All right.
A turkey leg. You gotta go to Benny's. Like, I'm pretty sure.
I need a list.
They gotta get you all the way acclimated. Yeah,
put that shit in my notes. Get down there, check everything off. Yeah, I gotta figure it out. But yeah, it's gonna be a long trip. And then Sunday I'm heading back just straight shot. It's a 9-hour drive, so yeah, hopefully we get the win. That'll be pretty sweet. But I'm just pumped to see like the whole atmosphere live in action. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not even gonna hold you. You should base your whole weekend off, like I said, getting the turkey leg, going to Benny's.
Don't even worry about the game.
Getting the donut. It's a place that got the donuts. I can't think of the name. Somebody will tell you once they hear this. The donut place, a rail from Tots. You got to do the Tots thing. You got to take a picture in front of that big-ass Virginia Tech flag.
Oh, they're talking about the neon one or whatever, the one with the lights?
Yeah.
And then I have to put it as my profile picture on Twitter, right?
Yeah. that's part of it. Yeah, man. I mean, there'll be an abundance of white keister up for the
– But this is a business trip, a strictly business trip. I can't get sidetracked going there for networking advancements.
You won't get sidetracked by the abundance of white keister that's going to be on display, especially for a noon game.
Testing my faith out here.
Yeah, your faith will be tested in these Blacksburg streets. Of course, we're praying for your safe travels.
Yes, sir.
And to the people that prays for our safe travels in life, our patrons, shout out to all of our patrons holding us down in these trying times. Shout out to Frank, man. Shout out to Frank. Shout out to Joe Rogers, co-host of TTD. I think that's their new initials.
They are TTD
from the Terra Dome podcast. They are no longer Tales from the Transfer Portal. They are Tales from the Terra Dome. Shout out to Jake, Nathan, Angie. Everybody's legendary, bro. Legends only. Shout out to Brendan Hill, coaching over at the apprentice school in my hometown, in our hometown, New Canoes, Virginia. Shout out to Brendan Hill. Shout out to Susan. Shout out to Hokie Smash. I met Matt last week. He was in the 757. We met up, ate tacos.
Good dude.
Yeah, me and Matt just kicking it, bro. Eating tacos, just chilling. Shout out, good dude. Shout out to Elaine. Shout out to Miss Jerry McCants. Shout out to Cam Cobb, the bro, all legends. Shout out to Amir. Shout out to Dan, the other co-host of Tales from the Terra Dome podcast. Not Tales from the Transfer Portal. Tales from the Terra Dome. So type that in at Spotify, Apple, wherever you find podcasts. Listen to this one first, though. Don't do fucking cut this one off. Shout out to Beth. Good people. Legend. Shout out to Lonnie, our friend Lonnie, friend of the podcast, friend of mine's. Shout out to Adam. Shout out to Brian. Shout out to Nola. Nola's the bro. Shout out to Nola. Shout out to Mitch, who's been MIA all season. Maybe Fuente broke Mitch. I think Fuente broke him. I haven't heard from Mitch all season. Shout out to Avery. Shout out to Tom and Andrew, legends within themselves. Shout out to Treadmill Horse. Shout out to Corey. Shout out to Diller, legendary Diller, meme maker. Shout out to Luke. Shout out to Ty. Shout out to Greg, Brandon, and Alex. You are all legends. Shout out to Daniel. Shout out to Nathan. Shout out to Too Quickski. Shout out to Josh Young, legend. Paul Shelton, legend. Ben, legend. Nick, legend. The Saltwater Preacher. Lord knows we need more preachers out here. Shout out to Marquise. Shout out to Andrew. Shout out to Valerie, legend. Shout out to Jack. Shout out to Mary Andrew. Hopefully you meet them this weekend. Great people. Shout out to Kobe. And shout out to John. Shout out to all of our patrons. To become a patron, tap the link in the bio. I don't know what else to say. Or follow the links, mail, DM me, bro. Y'all know how to get in touch with us. Let's get straight to the business, man. Because I've been sitting on this one for a couple of days. Pitt beats Virginia Tech 45-29. It was an ass kicking of epic proportions. We gave up Tony Dorsett numbers. Pitt hadn't had a running back go off like that in a long time. Ever. Yeah, he set records.
ever.
We said it in the preview.
Unreal.
Israel Abana Kanda. We failed to do that. It was bad. He had 36 carries for 320 yards, 6 tuds.
in one game. Yeah. This is one
in
game.
In one game. Some motherfuckers don't do that against Virginia Tech in their life. And he did it in one game. Grant was up and down, hot and cold. Caleb had a great first half. They kind of made adjustments in the second half. And that's normally when adjustments get made. Somebody else is supposed to go off. Didn't really happen. Day one, Lofton did get a touchdown, but same shit. I've seen and heard a lot of Virginia Tech fans saying it's getting better. It's getting better. I don't see how people can watch that game and say it's getting better. What say you?
I think the offense is getting better.
It's the team.
But as a whole, the defense, especially the run defense, it's like, bro, we're supposed to, if we're going to hang our hat on anything with Brent Pry, it's got to be our defense. And like, I mean, how do you give up 320 yards rushing, six touchdowns to one guy? I mean, he carried the ball 36 times. Keaton Slovis only threw for 170. I mean, like, that's bad. And like, our defense is like, Slovis was come seeing on.
Ghosts or some shit because he had protection.
Yeah. And he looked like shit. We couldn't capitalize. It just seems like with this team, every time we do something right, we do everything else wrong. And it fucks us up. You know, it's like, oh, we can't throw the ball. All right. Then the first, then the one game we can throw the ball, we just don't even, our defense doesn't even come to the game. Like, it would have been, we would have been all right if our defense played like shit, but our defense didn't even play the game. It's like nobody was there.
The defense got their asses pushed around, to say the least.
I think it's time to start the conversation that our defensive line is pretty terrible, like across the board. Because like we talked about this before, we're getting torched on the ground. And this happened in the West Virginia game, happened again now. And like our leading tacklers are Chamari, Nasir Peoples, and Dax. Like both guys are in the back of our secondary. Like, what does that tell you? They're coming up to make tackles.
Dax had one solo tackle.
Yeah, I mean, one solo, the rest of them. I mean, Chamari had five solo. Nasir Peoples had five solos. I mean, come on. I mean, it's, something's got to change with the defensive line. And I think that's like something that's just not being talked about on Twitter. And I think it deserves more attention than we're giving it. So that's where I'm like kind of concerned as of right now. And the thing is like our defensive linemen, like, bro, there are the guys that have been there. JC Price has been there. It's not like we have true freshmen on our defensive line. So something's got to change there.
Yeah, the defensive line, like Pitt's first offensive drive and Fuga and Pollard, like they was getting off. Like I thought we was in for a clinic, a defensive. I thought the defensive line was about to be dominant all day. They gave us that first drive and maybe half of Pitt's second offensive drive. And after that, it was the same old, same old.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we knew we were thin coming into the season on defensive line. We haven't suffered
but it's
any
not even,
major injuries.
It's not even depth, though, because it's like our starters aren't even playing well to begin with.
Right.
In terms of against the run. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't really see what the problem is. I feel like, and I've always felt like Fuga and Pollard and Kendricks were good players too. Like I don't think they're that bad. Like if we talk about some of the areas on defense we're concerned about, it really wasn't them. So to see them give up the plays that they're giving up, like the gaps being as big as they are, I think is cause for some major concern. Behind them, there's really like nobody though. I mean, our last class was all defensive line. Those guys are all freshmen still. So it's going to be a minute before we turn that over, but it's just disappointing because, you know, the prize defense, you know, you would think that we'd be able to stop the run, and going up to Pitt and getting beat like that was kind of disheartening when the offense, yeah, I mean, Caleb Smith went for 152.
Caleb Smith, the Caleb Smith revenge tour, redemption tour, it has been a sight to see. I'm pretty sure I'm on record talking crazy about Caleb Smith on this podcast a year ago. Not crazy as far as like outside of football, but just saying like, bro, why is he even getting targets? Like, and to see him like emerge as like a legit weapon is crazy to me. And you know, Fuente's offense was also kind of crazy. We were the ones saying that, and obviously, he had Trey and Tavion playing in front of him. But no, man, like Caleb Smith, he's kind of serving up them Eric Coomer vibes. Like he making every contested catch.
Yeah.
He's rarely asshole open. I don't think I've seen it a lot this year, but he's on his Coomer vibes. He's on his Damon Hazleton vibes. He's on his every contested catch is his ball. There is no 50-50 ball throwing it to Caleb. It's looking like it's our ball. So Shout out to Caleb Smith, man. Seriously, yeah. though. Like, seriously.
He's still playing well.
Running routes with the boots on, but fuck it. He's still catching the ball.
That's all that matters. I mean, 9 receptions as a wide receiver, I'll take that shit. Every day of the week.
7 of them was like first half.
Yeah.
He was getting off. Now, he got his ass killed, and he fumbled the ball, but that was just a good-ass hit. Like, I ain't about to sit up here and be like, you ain't supposed to drop the ball. And he got his ass cropped. Like, buddy laid his ass out. Like, that. It is what it is. We was kind of getting back into the game, too, for that fumble. But,
yeah.
No, that was just a perfect-ass hit.
I think there's definitely some areas of this team that are playing pretty well right now. And like, it's good to see Daquan Wright. I think he looks great. I think, I think Mansoor Delane is going to be a sweet player, honestly, in the future. But it's just that like
the return of Malachi Thomas,
man. Yeah. Malachi Thomas came back and ran for 84 yards, averaged 5.6. Like that was cool, but it's like, dude, come on. How do you give up 49 to Pitt, especially on the ground like that? It's just,
the same, like, and Malachi Thomas, this, like, now, like, I'm, like, sold. I'm, like, ready to lie on Malachi Thomas because the offensive line was still struggling. It wasn't like, okay, they started blocking better because Malachi, he was dealing with the same shit that everybody else was dealing with and was still finding a way to get positive yardage. So now I'm ready to lie. He's a talent.
He is a talent. He has great vision. Just seems like anytime there's any sort of gap, he finds it. You know what I mean? It's just like there's never a time where he just runs into the back of his offensive lineman and can't find some sort of gap. He's just so good in between the tackles. So hopefully he stays healthy and we get him back next year and he gets even better next year because he's a player. He's a player for sure.
He's a talent. He's definitely a talent. And to see him come in his first game, his first action, and was able to, like you said, get 84 yards and kind of let it be known, like, yeah, I'm the top running back here. Even though Keyshawn King has had a good first half of the season, Malachi Thomas kind of came right back in, like, hold up now. And I think going forward, when you got a running back group, let's say Keyshawn King for whatever reason leaves, I think he got another year eligibility after this, but let's say whatever. He wanted to go pro or he just wanted to play somewhere else, whatever. If we going forward with Chance Black, Malachi Thomas, Bryce Duke, I like that trio.
Yeah.
It's a nice blend of like
everything.
Obviously Bryce Duke can catch the ball. You can move him around like a Swiss Army knife. And you got Malachi Thomas who can be the do it all back. He can run between the tackles. And then you got Chance to change the pace.
Yeah, he can play.
I would like that group going forward.
Oh, 100%. I agree. I think all three of those guys bring something different. And Malachi kind of does it all better than the rest of them. But, I mean, it's still great to have all three. So
yeah, and we might get Keyshawn King back to speed, guys. So,
yeah,
you know. I mean, he ain't left yet. I would have been left if I was him. But he's still here to make the play. So, shout out to Keyshawn King. The defense went from giving up, I don't know, 900 pass yards to 900 rush yards. It's some people who's saying that they're seeing improvement. Are they lying or has there been improvement?
Well, I mean, I think it's just like where's the improvement been at is what you're arguing, right? I mean, I think if anything, the defensive line, and especially the defense, has almost regressed throughout the season. But I think the offense has gotten better on the flip side. So I think there's two sides of the coin. The good thing, though, is like everybody on defense is old and they're going to leave. Everybody on offense is kind of young and they're going to be staying around for a little while. So if you want to see improvement from anywhere, I feel like it's got to be the guys that are staying. That's just my take. In at least the spots on defense that are good, like Jalen Stroman and Mansoor Delane, like those guys will be around. So I'm not worried about them. But rest of the defense, I don't see improvement at all. I see the opposite.
Yeah, I have, because I'm a man where I don't mind saying I was wrong. I don't mind saying I jumped the gun, or, you know, I don't mind. A lot of people can't really own up to their shit, but I don't mind. Jalen Stroman, and I don't think I'm on record saying, you know, Jalen Stroman was going to take a long time to contribute, but Jalen Stroman in year two, he's playing, man. He's contributing.
He does not look like a year two player either.
Jaden McDonald, not Jordan. He's contributing, man. He had a nice series out there. And you know, we had that situation where his pops checked me or whatever he called himself doing. But hey, man, he's contributing, man. I get credit where it's due. I'm not one of those people that hold on to my takes and go to the grave with my take. No, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm not, he ain't goddamn, just trying to think of somebody nice that play linebacker. He ain't Tremaine Edmonds or nothing, but shit, he hooping. He playing.
He's playing well. He's playing well.
Nazir Peoples, he hooping. I can't talk too much shit. Keontae, he been hooping.
Yeah, Pearson Prelude's got the boys in the back playing really well. We're almost to the point where we have too many good, like back end safeties. Like we got a lot of back end safeties that can play. Almost too many to play. So
yeah, they open. Them people are playing. Dax being a top 10 in the country PFF ranked linebacker, that's an indictment on PFF. They don't watch the games. Shout out to Dax, man. Look, I don't want to make this the fuck Dax show, and I'm pretty sure there's enough VT podcasts that praise Dax. If you came here for Dax praise, go to TSL, bro. I don't see top 10. Those first three games, Dax was fucking pretty lit. I ain't gonna lie. Dax was out here smacking shit. I haven't seen it recently, though.
Yo, well, yeah, we're gonna need him this weekend for sure. Because when he plays well, the whole defense seems to play a step above.
Yeah, I can sit up here and say Dax is definitely improved from 2 years ago. Almost night and day difference. But that don't mean that I don't give a fuck what PFF say his ranking is. I got eyeballs, man. I don't see that. I don't see all that. I see somebody that's improved. I see somebody that's doing way better than whatever the fuck Tracy Clays had going on. But, nah, top 10 in the country? In this country? America? Nah. Oh, yeah. Hey, PFF, I need to see what goes into your equations, brother. You yeah. can't give up a 300-yard run. And it ain't just Dak's fault that you give up a 300-yard rusher, but goddamn, if you got a so-called top 10 linebacker in the country, but goddamn, 100 of them yards supposed to be non-existent. He supposed to hold that motherfucker to 200 yards. Something. Right. Like, goddamn, it's supposed to be every play that this motherfucker breaking off these plays. Damn, he could have broke a 90-yard run, but Dak's got him, thank God. Like, if you got top 10 players, what I'm saying. I ain't see all that.
Yeah.
And I damn sure ain't seeing it in coverage. So I want to see what goes into their formula. The Grant Wells thing in the space after the game, it was some people saying bench Grant Wells. I don't see how. He's not the reason why the offense is struggling. He ain't the solution, but he's not the problem.
Yeah, I don't even really think the offense is like – incredibly bad right now, especially after like last game. I think they're getting better in the areas that like people ask them to get better at. So I feel like people are just directing their anger at someone, and it's the quarterback. And I think their takes are pretty lazy, honestly.
Yeah, the quarterback gonna get too much blame. The quarterback gonna get too much credit.
Right, if we won that. If we won that game and our defense played great, we'd be sitting up here praising Grant Wells, and they would be talking about how Grant Wells is the best quarterback since whoever. You know what I mean? Like, we scored 29 points. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of it,
they gave it to us. They was up big, so they let us have whatever we wanted. They ain't want to give up too many more big plays. Like I said, day one got him a touchdown. He got his ass up out of jail. Look at that. Shout out to day one Loft. The man got his ass up out of jail up off Rikers Island for a little bit. Whatever the hell, whatever the prison in Western PA, he got him a nice weekend off of jail. So shout out to day one Loft. And Grant, he doing what he got to do, man. He doing what he got to do.
There's only so much he can do.
So much he can do. He's not Cam Newton. He's not Josh Allen.
He's not Michael Vick. He's not Tyrod Taylor.
He's not going to just put the whole operation on his shoulders and drag us to victories. He's not built like that. He needs protection. He needs receivers. So.
Right.
Anybody act, look, shit, JB tried to get his ass up in the game and Grant Wells himself said, nah, I'm good, bro. You ain't getting in this game, brother. You was not getting your ass up in this game.
I think a lot of people would be pretty disappointed if they saw JB or any of the other quarterbacks play.
JB thought his ass was about to get some captions off. Nah, like, brother.
Come on, man.
No, brother. You was not about to get your ass in this game. Off. So you can get your captions off, bro. It's not happening. You better use them warm-up pictures because you ain't about to get no in-game pictures. shout out to Grant Wells being like, no, I'm good. No, you're not. Keaton Slovis didn't kill us. Keaton Slovis looked bummy to me. Like, honestly, if Keaton Slovis like did what he was supposed to do, Pitt probably scored 60. But
he hasn't been very good all year, to be honest. He played okay against West Virginia that first year, but he's like not. I mean, there's a reason he transferred. There's a reason he went to Pitt too. Pitt wasn't like a destination spot for him to go to either. I mean, they were good last year, don't get me wrong, but they lost their offensive coordinator. So it's not like they're out here as this like prime spot for a former five-star to go to. I mean, like, I just don't think Keaton Slovis is that good. Like, there's a reason he's at Pitt right now.
Yeah, I didn't see them. I was impressed by his performance, but whatever. He did enough, you know. He did enough to get the W. This is something I wanted to definitely bring up on the podcast because to Virginia Tech fans' detriment, we're a little bit enamored to kind of see the red flags. I'm the red flag guy. Like, I don't be giving a fuck about nothing. Virginia Tech had two drives that got into the 25, got, you know, in the red zone or close to the red zone, that came away with 0 points because of penalties and Grant took a sack on the other drive. But penalties wiped out points and, you know, losing field position and things like that. One of them was a delay of game before we kicked the ball. This is on Stu Hope. This is on Brent Pry. This is on the staff. This isn't – yeah, it's on the guys too. And yeah, Grant, you can't take that sack, whatever. But penalties, I'm seeing the same shit as far as penalties. What's your thoughts on a lot of the sloppy and undisciplined play, especially when we get down into scoring range?
It's tricky because, like you said, it is definitely on the staff. So, how much of it do you think, though, is it like the change of scheme? You know, because you're coaching a lot of players that have been here with other coaches. Then you flip it. So how much of it is just on the coaches? Is it something that we're going to see moving forward? Is it just kind of growing pains? I don't really know. I feel like it's hard to tell because it's so early. But it's definitely like cause for concern. It's definitely, like you said, like red flag-ish. It's one thing if we're getting torched, but like the self-inflicted wounds is not what we need to be doing right now. So I think that's something we need to monitor in the future.
Yeah, just shooting ourselves in the foot. You get a hands to the face on Parker Clements, and then you get a a face, not a face mask. You get a hand to the face, and then you take a sack on the next play, and now you go from kicking a field goal before half to throwing the Hail Mary attempt before half, which got picked off. Which, you know, that interception shouldn't be on Grant's books.
Yeah.
Yeah, honest. The sack, yes. But that interception should not be on Grant's books. Obviously, it counts. It goes against his name. But you went from kicking a potential field goal to having to throw a Hail Mary up before halftime because of poor clock management and dumb penalties, which has been killing the team all season thus far.
Yeah, I think Parker Clements has had like one of those like drive killer plays every single game this season. So I think he's like far and away the worst offensive lineman we have that's starting right now. So hopefully we don't get to see him next year. Hopefully, but we'll see. I haven't been impressed with him at all so far. And if he's as bad as he is and making the type of mistakes that he's making and he's still in the game, I think that just goes to show how bad Bob Schick is.
Oh, yeah. It's about to be big Bob Schick season. Right here. If Parker keep getting in trouble, shit. Might be some accountability going down.
Yeah,
Pry. Penalties and clock management is on you. We can, listen, you got me, you got Drift, you got a lot of motherfuckers that's willing to blame Fuente for everything else. Clock management and penalties, that's you, brother. That's you. Clean the shit up.
Yeah.
Because I ain't going to keep saying the same things. I need to see a clean game when we get into a Miami preview. So, Pitt beat the shit out of us. Don't let the final score fool you. That game was never in question. But if I can come away with some positives, because I don't want to just shit on everybody. They didn't fold up. I felt like at times when a banner candle was going off, I'm like, okay, he about to bring the bitch out. He about to bring the bitch out of us. It never came out. What I saw out there was just, you know, motherfuckers being sorry. I can live with sorry. I can live with sorry. I can't live with quit. They didn't quit. So,
right.
Shout outs. They was in the game. I ain't seen nobody. I ain't seen no bitching, no pouting. I just seen a bunch of motherfuckers look sorry against a team that was better than them. I can live with that.
Yep. Yep. 100% agree. I think that team, I think Fuente's coaching, we lose like 45-7. So,
yeah, I mean, just look back at the 2018 Pitt game where they ran for 900 yards too. It was divvied up amongst two people. It wasn't like last week where we gave it all up to one person.
Literally, but one fucking dude.
But at least in this case, as opposite to 2018, it just looked like they were just better. I mean, they were better than us in 2018 too, but we just looked soft. It looked bad. It just looked, the optics was bad. It looked like a bunch of motherfuckers that were just going through the motions. Last Saturday was a little different.
Yup.
So yeah, Pitt kicked our ass. That's what happened, man. When we go play them at Heinz Field or whatever they call that shit now, it ain't Heinz Field no more. But it's something else. But
it's like Acrisure or some shit like that.
Yeah, Acrisure Stadium or whatever. I remember old Three River Stadium. They need to bring that back. But yeah, man, Pitt kicked our ass. Week 6.
Lies are coming out.
Our favorite thing to do is lie. Let's start with the upset that I had wrong. I thought Louisville was gonna be ass. I'm like, man, Louisville some shit. Louisville backup quarterback is ass. But no, this is the University of Virginia we talking about. I learned my lesson. I ain't fooling with UVA. I ain't fooling with UVA no more. Done fooling with UVA. I told a lie. I lied. Drift told the truth.
Yeah, bro. I mean, we talked about it last week. You just had belief in UVA.
I had less belief in Louisville.
Maybe, I guess. Well, you had no belief in Louisville's backup quarterback.
Right.
But I just thought UVA was terrible. So that's why I took Louisville.
Brandon Armstrong and them, like, Brandon Armstrong is not the same quarterback from last year.
Totally different quarterback. It's honestly kind of sad. I mean, as much as we, like, shit on them, like, imagine you have, like, a rock star quarterback, and the next year he's just ass, like, night and day. And you get an offensive coordinator to come coach your team. It's kind of shitty, not gonna lie. I'd be down bad if I was a UVA fan.
Right, like you had a great offense. While your future head coach was coaching a bad offense full of talent. I ain't even gonna say five stars, but they had a five star quarterback, 4 and 5 star receivers, good line. So that offense was bad. While your offense was good, you know, you get that coach, your offense is now bad, and Clemson's offense is back good. And the coaches you let go that went up to Syracuse offense is good.
Right. It's not looking good.
The numbers ain't never lied to me.
It's not looking good. So
UVA is in shambles.
Hopefully they can figure it out. But I still think we're gonna beat the shit out of them come Thanksgiving. So, but yeah. I got that right. You got that wrong. Yes. UNC at Miami. You had UNC +3.5. I had Miami -3.5. I thought the Miami bounce back game was upon us, and it kind of was. But not enough. So UNC straight up won, so you covered easy. Miami lost the game. I lost that one. Is Miami, like, certified bad now? Actually terrible?
It's so hard to – the thing about Miami is they're so hard to call. They gave up, like, 50 points to Middle Tennessee State. But then they played Texas A&M tough. Like, you never know what the motherfuckers
are. And then their defense kind of held up against UNC.
Yes. So, Miami, if you can catch them motivated, you get a good-ass team. If you catch them sleeping, you can beat the shit out of, like, they're a mixed bag, bro. They really a mixed bag.
Yeah, so that's an L for me. So we're up to 1-1. Clemson at BC, the red bandana game. We both had Clemson -20.5.
Mm-hmm.
That covered. Not much to say about that game, but the BC sucks.
Hey, Clemson been holding it down.
Yeah, last year Clemson fucked us a lot, but this year's a little different.
Clemson been holding us down. Hey.
FSU at NC State. This one's funny. You had NC State money line. I had NC State -3. So you got that because they won 19-17. And I didn't. So that was an L take for me, literally by 1 point.
Yeah. The thing about NC State, the thing about playing up at Raleigh. It's hard to win up at Raleigh.
Especially when they're, like, supposed to be good and they're coming off a loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we talked about that last week, but that's the reason why we both took NC State. It's just like, even though Florida State is, like, kind of good, like, they're not bad.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they, Florida State will
a year or
back.
Two away.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
That game up at Raleigh is always tough business for Florida State. Whether they win the game or not, it's always hard for them to play and win up there.
Exactly. Duke at Georgia Tech, we both had. Georgia Tech has made us wrong 2 weeks in a row now.
Bro.
Come on. Like,
like, this is the minute we start believing in Duke games.
Yeah. And just when we think Georgia Tech is dead in the water. They win two games. So
they fired a coach. They fired an AD. Next thing you know, win streak.
Yep. It's a tale as old as time.
Maybe we need to fire Brian with ass. So we can go on a fucking win streak. Shit. Who Georgia Tech's interim? Shit. He doing something.
Hey, we already used that energy last year against UVA. That energy is gone.
Yeah, but we ain't fired an AD too though.
Yeah, that's the kicker. I don't understand doing that, to be honest, because then you gotta make two hires, and it makes the whole thing longer. And I feel like that's a terrible way to go about it. I mean, if AD's wrong, the AD's bad. Like, I get it.
Fuck that. Listen, when AD get fired, it's something deeper than just that football season. He probably was a dickhead. Probably like, bro, get him out of here, bro.
Yeah. There's some behind the scenes. Get him out of here. Behind the scenes movement going on.
Behind the scenes shit.
100%.
A bombshell that just didn't never come out. Because he said, you know what, let me just... Because sometimes it'd be like, yo, we can quietly fire you, or you can go kicking and screaming, and then we release this videotape that we got. Like, it can get nasty for some of these motherfuckers. So many people get fired quietly because they know they got some damn dirt, so...
Right. Right.
And we lied about it.
Yeah, we lied about Pitt. Well, we had to. That one's always
you have to.
Yeah. So you went 3-2. I went 2-3 for this past week of ACC football.
Yes, ACC football so hard to call, bro.
Well, every week is a nightmare.
Sorry, ass teams. Week 7 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. It's not that many games. People are starting to play their bye week, so we got some special games. This is a good weekend in college football, actually, to be fair. But we go always start in the ACC. Number 15, NC State, up at number 18, Syracuse. It's in the dome. Cuse is coming off bye week. Sean Tucker is probably well-rested, ready for action. Cuse is 3.5-point favorites. What you got?
Oh, man, this is such a hard one. Going back to, like, ACC being difficult, this is, like, right off the bat, difficult game. Game day, like, could have went here almost. If the Bama game, if Bama-Tennessee wasn't playing this week.
It'd probably be at Michigan-Penn State.
This is true. Michigan-Penn State's also very
good. They'd be the third string. I get what you're saying, though.
They're up there, though. You know what I mean? Like, how many times is Syracuse, like, kind of a pick?
Right.
I have to go NC State, though, on this one, man. I don't know.
I'm liking the vibes.
I'm taking NC State. I'm doing it. NC State plus 3.5. Run me my money.
I'm liking the NC State vibes. I'm going to go with NC State minus 3.5.
Plus 3.5 or minus? Cuse is favored, right?
Cuse is favored.
Okay.
I'm liking NC State. I'm liking NC State plus 3.5.
It's just that this is like kind of a big game, and I feel like Cuse is always good when the lights and the attention is not on them. And I feel like now people are starting to be like, "Oh, this is a big game. Let's watch." Like it's a thing now, and I think that's when Syracuse always folds.
Yep.
So I'm taking. I mean, but NC State does the same shit, so I can't really go too far with that.
But NC State ain't. Even though NC State not under the same pressure Cuse is under.
This is true. NC State's not even favored. So I feel like when you go into a game like that not favored as a ranked going team, to, like you go, you're going to chill.
Dave Doran going to preach that underdog shit.
Yep.
Number 4, Clemson at Florida State. Rivalry game. Clemson is 3.5-point favorites. I'm going to start this one off. I'm taking Clemson. For those who don't know and for those who forget, Clemson was supposed to play at Florida State in 2020. They traveled to Tallahassee just to have the game called off for COVID. They were there. They were all of that. I think they were. I don't even think they got off the plane or got off the bus before the game was canceled. Florida State was like, "Yeah, we can't play the game." They canceled it literally last minute. Dabo is going to look to put 90 on the board. What say you?
He can try, but I think this is the week Clemson gets exposed. against their rivals in Tallahassee. I'm taking Florida State plus 3.5. I just think this is going to be the game where people are like, okay, Florida State is back or Clemson sucks. Like, it's going to be one of those two reactions, and everybody's going to be freaking out on social media because one of the like big dogs, you know, lost this weekend. And nobody's going to be paying attention because everybody's going to be watching Michigan, Penn State. So I'm taking Florida State. I'm running it. I think they got a shot, and they're coming off a close loss. Run me Florida State, man. Run me Florida State.
I don't know, bro. It was a lot of bitterness that 20 Dabo was filling away.
Well, listen, we were filling away when we played ODU, and how did we just play when we went back there?
We not them. We not Clemson. Like, Clemson's like equipped to do something about it. Like, we not. I think.
I'm just saying the bad feeling.
I done seen a motivated Dabo do some shit.
This is facts, but we'll see. I'm going to run it. I need to get back. I can't just be picking the same shit you're picking. I'm down. You're up on me. I got to figure it out. I need to get my wins.
This game is better suited for the hardwood than the gridiron. UNC at Duke. UNC is a touchdown favorite, 7 points. They're going on the road. I've seen they reveal some chrome. I'm not revealed. We've seen these helmets before, but they're wearing their chrome Tar Heel helmets this week.
Yeah, the heels, the foot.
With the heels, yes.
What's your take on those helmets? On that logo? Maybe just the logo.
I got PTSD from that helmet, particularly that logo. I live in Southeast Virginia. It's a lot of Tar Heels fans. I don't like it. It's a lot of Tar Heel basketball fans. They don't root for them in football. They're Tech fans in football, ironically. But I've never liked that logo with the foot. I get what they're doing, but fuck all that.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird.
Yeah, that helmet, that chrome helmet.
That's fire,
the Tar Heel, I can't. Ever like that Gio Bernard game from like 2011 to 2012, we played them. They wore that chrome helmet, and Gio Bernard, I swear he was getting like 20, 30 yards a touch versus us.
Just going like off.
We couldn't do shit with. Shout out to Gio Bernard, man. He was a monster.
He had a good NFL career too.
Good NFL career, great pass catching back, shifty, could do it, could kind of a do it all back, but I just can't. Every time I see that chrome Tar Heel helmet, I think of that Gio Bernard game, him going crazy on us. So I was like, Jesus Christ, why we can't get one of them? So yeah, that's what I think about the helmet. The Gio Bernard game going crazy on us. I got the Tar Heels, and they're covering. What you got?
Duke.
Taking the Dukies.
I'm here for the fire. Like, I feel like this weekend is going to be like a fire weekend where everything just burns down. Dumpster fires everywhere. Like, people are freaking out. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for the burn down. Like, can you imagine? Like, I think Duke actually might just straight up cover and lose the game. I think that's probably the most likely thing to happen here. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if Duke just straight up won the game either. I mean, what if in the scenario that Miami is just actually fucking trash? Like, that UNC game wouldn't look so good. They turn around, play Duke. Duke maybe had an off week. Maybe they're back. So I'm taking Duke.
Yeah, that's the thing. The ACC is the closest thing to, like, the NFL.
It's like a toss-up every week. Yeah, like, you look at these spreads. These are NFL like, spreads.
Yeah, like, legit NFL spreads. Like, it's hard to call damn near, like, the NFL.
Yeah, every game's toss up. Every single
now,
game.
Now
so,
we get to some games of higher relevance. These aren't ACC games, but they'll have my attention at the very least. Number 10, Penn State at number 5, Michigan. That's one I want to see. I want to see JJ McCarthy playing.
JJ McCarthy is sweet.
I want to see JJ McCarthy play some. Not that they've been playing bums. The Big Ten is a tough conference, but this is a real test. A real test versus a hungry Penn State. I don't even have a line, but I think Michigan's favored, if I'm not mistaken. But
Michigan is definitely has to be favored. Let me check.
I think it was three. I don't want to lie to the people. I think it was
seven. It's seven.
Shit. Michigan Penn State, me.
Listen, anytime Penn State comes to Ann Arbor, they get shit on. Anytime Michigan goes to Penn State, they lose by like a touchdown at the end of the game in overtime. So it's historic. It's the way it is, the way life goes. I'm taking Michigan minus seven.
Give me Penn State. 7 points is a lot. That's a lot. Penn State's a good team. Give me Penn State. But that's gonna be a game. And the thing about Michigan is one of those I've never been to the state of Michigan, let alone to Ann Arbor. But that's one of the great scenes in college football. Like when Michigan playing a big game, like the scene is always must-see TV.
Oh yeah. Ann Arbor's just different, man. Ann Arbor sweet. I'm gonna be there for the Michigan State game next week or the following weekend, Halloween weekend. But the Big House is just different, man. It's weird. It's similar to Notre Dame in the fact that like it doesn't necessarily feel like a college. It doesn't feel like the pros. It feels like this weird in between of like you're in another dimension type of deal. Just because it's like so huge, like it's so big. It just doesn't even feel like people go to school there. It's the whole city too in Ann Arbor, so it'll be dope. That game will be sweet. I think it's a noon kickoff, big noon. So also speaking of Michigan, shout out my buddy I'm coming with down to Virginia Tech. He's a diehard Michigan fan. He has tickets this weekend for the Penn State game, and he's skipping it to come with me to Virginia Tech.
What?
Yup.
Hey, no way. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that's a true friend right there. That's a true Michigan. True friend. He's got season tickets to Michigan.
He's giving up an opportunity to see a top 10 game with NFL players all over the place to go see a Midland 12:30. Mind you, they can't even watch the game in Miami like on ESPN. They got to watch the shit on Telemundo. You better tell me he going to that shit.
Yeah,
Michigan top five versus number 10. Oh no, ain't no way.
Yeah, hey man, no way. Hey man, a good ass friend, good ass friend. He's got me on with tickets for the Michigan State Michigan game, so I'm getting him back. But I didn't think he'd come. I thought he would take it, but he wants to see the scene.
Definitely would not have came. He must really want to see them trees.
He is an outdoors guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, Blacksburg Lane Stadium. Also great sights to see and, you know, great sights and things. Get that man a turkey leg. That's all we got for you, bro. Take him to Tots.
Oh, yeah. We're getting fucked up.
But sure. I don't think I could have passed up that Michigan-Penn State game. Michigan, yeah. If Maryland was in town, all right, fuck it. Let's go somewhere. But not the Penn State game. Oh, no. Last but not least, and this is the main event of the evening, all Virginia Tech fans, the game that we really have rooting interest in, Bama at Tennessee. Number three, Bama. I think Tennessee's number six, if I'm not mistaken. This is the Hendon Hooker. This could be his crowning moment, right?
Yeah, this could be the game.
Towards this. It's been building towards this since Hendon became a starter at Tennessee, which was last year. And he's been getting better and better and better every week. This is the Hendon Hooker. Like, he can make himself a lot of money. All he got to do is win a game. I don't think he got to light Bama up, but if he wins the game, he could be on his way to making that Kenny Pickett bag. Kenny Pickett was also an older player, 6 years in the game, and got it together his last season. Hendon Hooker could also sneak into that first round conversation.
Oh, with this game, 100%. 100%.
Competent against Bama. He will make himself a lot of money, just like Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder didn't even win the game, but he didn't. He looked like he belonged. So I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give him a bag.
And that, honestly, yeah, that's what happened to like all the UC players. Like Sauce Gardner played well. So his stock just straight up. If you like, Bama's the test. We said this before, the mirror. If you play well against Bama, or if you play decent, if you look like you belong on the same field as Bama, you'll get looked at. You'll get looked at for sure.
I don't know what the lines. Oh, Bama is -7. Bama is 7, a touchdown on the road. This, and Tennessee hasn't had this kind of electricity since like, what's Peyton, my man? After Peyton, they had a quarterback. He used to do hella Viking. And he was like the original Perkmeister. He was the original. Like he was doing hella Perkmeister. They probably weren't even doing perks back then. They probably were doing Vikes, doing Oxys. Back when Arian Foster went there.
Yeah.
This was a long time ago. I can't remember who the quarterback is for my life. But yeah, back when Arian Foster and them, this was like 05, 06. But it don't matter. Tennessee ain't been lit since then. This is Tennessee's opportunity to kick the dough down and say, listen, we are playoff contenders. Bryce Young is injured or hurt, at least. I don't know if he's injured, but he's hurt.
Yeah.
Bama has been looking human lately.
As in last week, but that's all that matters.
Yeah.
We got to take Tennessee.
We gotta take Tennessee.
This is one of those things where it's like, Hendon is a Virginia Tech guy. We take Virginia Tech officially every week. We just have to take him. He's a V-Tech alum. Hendon Hooker. This is the Hendon Hooker game, and I think afterwards it's gonna be fucking sweet. I think there's gonna be a lot of buzz, even more around Hendon Hooker, and hopefully we get to see him in the first round. I think he's well on his way. He's in the perfect offense for it. They're showcasing his talents like no other. So Joe Burrow's He's Arrived game was against Bama. And
yeah,
you shoot you up the charts, man.
Yeah. Johnny Manziel. Two games versus Bama.
Oh, yeah.
Shot Cam Newton.
Game exactly. Versus Bama. Like, if you play Bama, well against Bama. Bama,
a lot of money.
They'll make you money. If you go there, they'll make you money. If you play against them, they'll make you money.
Like, even Ole Miss quarterback, like Bo Wallace, like, best game versus Bama. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, he never pays for any drinks or food when he's in Oxford. Same with Swag Kelly. Like,
even Matt, well, yeah, even Matt Corral, like, kind of played well against Bama. And so yeah, he got looked at.
Yeah. You. When you make Nick Saban sweat, like, hey, the NFL scouts be like,
licking their chops. Throwing your shit up the draft boards.
Everybody talk about Justin Jefferson. Hey, like, you know, one of the best receivers, you know, that came through LSU. But when his brother played quarterback at LSU versus Bama, shit. You ain't heard from Jordan Jefferson since that game. It's like, yo, it was Bama ended that man's whole career.
They've done that for a lot of people too. Police. Yeah.
Yeah. Bama be in the police. Yeah, ran. They Jordan Jefferson kicked somebody at a bar or some shit. And the Baton Rouge police was in his house and they literally went through it. He had a whole bunch of sneakers. They went through every pair of shoes he owned to find the alleged pair of sneakers he kicked somebody with.
Oh my God.
Yeah, shout out Jordan Jefferson. Shout out the Baton Rouge police. And shout out to Jordan Jefferson, a legend out here. And shout out to Justin Jefferson for saying, fuck that. Let me go catch. Let me go catch, bro. I see how they did, big bro. Which leaves us 12:30. I don't even know what channel we playing on, Raycom Sports or some shit. If you live in South Florida, you can catch the game on ESPN Deportes or some dumb shit. VT versus Miami. Both teams are on 3-game losing streaks. This game used to mean something. Like, this game normally had a lot of coastal implications.
Yeah.
Not this year. No. Neither one of these teams will be winning the final coastal.
Yeah. This is a pretty meaningless game, honestly, which kind of sucks. But, hey, it's homecoming. Hopefully Virginia Tech can get the win, finally put it together, give us some hope. We need pride to give us some hope. So, yeah. Hopefully this is the game.
Yeah, this is yet another game in this tough stretch. We had a tough 4-game stretch, which included UNC, Pitt, Miami, and NC State. This is part 3. I picked us going 2-2 in this stretch. We are currently 0-2, which means we got to win these next 2, or I'm a liar. So,
I picked the same shit.
What does the Hokies have to do?
Put it to
the Miami Hurricanes.
Shit, the same thing we've been saying for the past like 3 weeks, which is just put it together and play clean, right? Yeah, that's got to be it. Just like, it seems like stop shooting ourselves in the foot for once, and we might have a chance. And this is a perfect game to do it because it'll be at home, like early kickoff. So just play a clean game. We'll probably win the game.
Play clean. It's an early kickoff. You don't know which Miami you don't know which Miami team is going to show up, especially on the road.
Right.
Maybe we can just catch them. It's been announced as a sellout, which means the energy should be there in the Sandman and all that, you know, Lord knows.
Fans will be there.
Fans always doing their job.
Yep.
Even though they got a better offense than us, their offense has struggled at times. They seem to be getting it together in the second half of last week. They kicked our ass last year. Tyler Van Dyke was on our ass last year. But maybe we can catch him slipping, sleeping.
Revenge game.
Revenge game. It's the last time we're going to play Miami until 2026. The ACC is getting away from the Coastal Division. So there will be no more. And we're not playing them. You know how they got those little pods.
Yeah, they're not in our pod.
Three-team pods and shit. They're not in our pod. We're not in theirs. So.
Kind of sucks, honestly, that we're not playing them every year.
Yeah. As much as Virginia Tech fans shit on my – every time Miami lose a game, Virginia Tech is, like, snarky towards Miami. Virginia Tech, like, playing Miami kind of validates Virginia Tech, especially when Virginia Tech beats them. So,
yeah.
In order for it to be a rivalry, both fan bases have to be invested. And I never seen Miami fans give a shit when Virginia Tech lose.
Well, Miami fans don't really exist, so.
No, these motherfuckers exist, man.
Just not in Miami.
They're a nationwide fan base because we got a bunch of them here in 757 because this is a military area. A lot of people from Florida and all over the world. And Miami fans kind of come from everywhere. Like, a lot of T-shirt fans. I know the name. A lot of T-shirt fans. Like, couldn't tell you what city they play in.
Right.
I think these motherfuckers, like, what the fuck is Coral Gables? They play in Miami. Like, so yes. But they don't hate us. You can see a Miami fan in a Miami shirt and talk shit to them, and they'll find out you're a Virginia Tech fan. And normally the Miami fans normally give some type of respect. At least, you know, during the Frank and Bud era. Oh, man, Bud Foster, I got good defense. It's never contentious. It's never beef and shit like that.
I think Virginia Tech fans have always not liked them because they just get good recruits.
Yeah, little brother shit. Like, Virginia Tech love playing little brother to these motherfuckers out here.
Oh, yeah.
So we like to be little bro, so we fall up under the little bro category. That gets a win every now and then. We ain't got a win since Hendon. Ironically, we just talk about that motherfucker. But we have to stop the dumb penalties. We're not gonna win this game getting in field goal range and flagging our way back to punting. It's not gonna work. Throwing Hail Marys and shit. We have to play, like you said, a clean game. Grant Wells is gonna turn the ball over. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. That means he's playing his game. If Grant's throwing picks, he's throwing the ball.
Yep.
I can live with the shit. get Daquan Wright involved. Get Caleb Smith involved if he's not hurt. Get the ball out to Keyshawn King. Flip him the ball. It's not gonna be ideal. It's not gonna be pretty. It's gotta be physical. It's gotta look a certain way. Josh Gattis. We need Josh Gattis to realize and be dumb and not use their athletes to their advantage. Hey, try to ground and pound us. Hopefully the pit tape, Josh Gattis looked at the pit tape and say, I'm going to try to do that because that plays into our hands, honestly, better than them outspeeding us. So Josh Gattis, try to ground and pound us, bro, because that plays better to our advantage.
Yup, and then that'll give us the best chance, man. I think this is the week. We get the win. Get a little hope going. Timeline will be nice and spicy. Get a little space going. Some good vibes. Yeah,
get us a W. If I'm not mistaken, we get bad week. Going into bad week with a win. We would have to deal with all the fucking lies for, you know, two straight weeks. But you know what? I think we could use a little positivity in our lives after all this losing.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's coming.
Before we leave and we get off of Don V Fridays, your Michigan brother, your Michigan brethren, your fellow Michigander, Draymond Green, knocking motherfuckers out at practice.
Most ridiculous video on the internet.
Pretty sure, yeah. I'm pretty sure you saw the video. What's your take? What's your thoughts?
I don't know how often shit like that happens in professional sports. Like, I know for sure it happens in the NFL because we see it. Like, anytime it happens in training camp with joint practices and stuff, we see it. But in basketball, like, basketball is not the sport that brings out that type of aggression. You know what I mean? Like, in football, like, it's a gladiator sport. You're hitting each other, like, it's understandable when people get pissed like that, but to lash out in basketball against your own team, not good. And the other thing is, like, how do you let that video leak too? Like, who's sitting there just recording practice like that? Especially like the angle that they were at. Like, so there's two sides to it, but Draymond Green, he's out, man. You can't be doing that and stick around. Like, I don't know what he said to him or what was, you know, the words exchanged, but Jordan Peele is like, you know, the future of the team. God,
Jordan
Peele's
a director.
You can't be doing that.
Jordan Peele is a director / comedian. Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole. My bad. Jordan Peele. These motherfuckers, dude, their names too similar.
Right. And Jordan Poole was also from Michigan, correct? I know he went to Michigan.
Yeah, he went to Michigan. Obviously, Draymond Green went to State. But I think that fucks the Warriors, though, like, long-term, because Draymond Green really, like, made that team work. So without him, I think they're going to struggle, honestly. I don't think it's like roses over there. So
I mean, he's not suspended, Draymond. He comes back Thursday.
Right. But
today, when y'all listening to this. Me personally, fights happen, but this is where when somebody gets knocked out, it's different. That's different.
Like,
it's
slumped, never gonna be the same. Bro, slumped in practice.
It's different. That's a different thing. I was a construction worker. I used to see guys fight all the time. People will fight and be back friends. No, but if somebody like really knocks somebody out or something like that, or truly embarrasses the other person, never coming back from that. I don't give a fuck what they say. I don't give a fuck what Jordan Poole say. I don't care what Draymond Green say. I don't care what Steve Kerr say. Oh, they pieced it up. Jordan Poole is always going to look at Draymond Green sideways. Draymond Green might forgive Jordan Poole. He ain't get knocked out. But Jordan Poole is never going to look at Draymond Green the same. And Jordan Poole made the biggest mistake I see a lot of young people make. You keep expecting a fake fight. You push somebody, put your fucking hands up. You got to expect something to come back.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And put
your fucking hands up.
Get ready for that shit. I mean, especially Draymond Green, right? Like, out of all people.
Yes, when a motherfucker get in your face, you got to make a decision. And this goes for lovers and fighters. Let me tell y'all, let me gather around the fucking campfire. Let me teach y'all motherfuckers something, you young folks. If somebody get in your face as a lover or a fighter, the decisions you make are crucial to you getting your ass knocked out. If you are a lover and not a fighter and the motherfucker gets in your face, you either de-escalate the situation. Hey, come on, Draymond. You know, look, I was talking shit. You was talking shit. My bad. You defuse the shit if you're a lover. Or if a motherfucker get in your face, you get out of his face. You walk away. You find the exit. That's for the lovers. For the fighters, when a motherfucker get in your face, you swing first. Fuck all that. Always swing first. Get yours off first. If a motherfucker walk up and get in your face, give him what he want. Give him what he asking for. But to my fighters out there, to my lovers out there, this is what I'm trying to keep y'all motherfuckers from getting knocked out. If you a lover, defuse the shit. My bad, bro. My bad, big homie. Whatever the fuck people say. My bad, big bro. Or even if Draymond's wrong. Big bro, why you on this type of time? I ain't even on that. You know, I ain't on that. I don't want no trouble. Let's get back to practice. If you a fighter, duff his shit first. Don't push him. And damn sure don't push him and have your hands down. Duff his shit. And then, you know, by that time, if you get yours off first, he might swing back, he might not. By that time, the team to intervene and shit. But you don't get you. Don't do what Jordan Poole did. Don't get your ass knocked out. Don't push somebody and have your hands down. No, you don't do that. No, don't do that. Defuse the shit or get yours off first. But don't do what that motherfucker did.
Yep. Exactly. Get your ass slumped like that. And now.
Get your ass slumped.
Now you're all over the internet.
All over the internet. He can't come back from that shit.
No, not a chance.
He can't come back from that shit. Man, listen, come to NBA playoffs, because the regular season, the slander is going to be out there. It's going to be a little hee-hee-hee. You got your ass knocked out. Come playoffs,
it's over now.
You might got to deal with a motherfucker. Imagine Pat Bev with that type of information on you. And y'all got to play the Lakers round one. Man, listen. You can't, and now for the rest of the NBA, Jordan Poole's NBA career, he can't show no aggression towards nobody.
Right. It's going to change everything. It's going to change everything.
At nobody.
They're done. That whole team, I would be honestly surprised if the Warriors made it back to the playoffs. I feel like they're in for a big time down year.
The playoffs? You don't think they'll make the playoffs?
Yeah, we'll see. Well, those are two of their like best players that really make that team go. I just feel like if you take that,
that's true. But you know how easy it is to make the NBA playoffs.
This is true. But the West in general is still tough.
Nah, they let the fucking 10th seed at least try to get in the playoffs now with the play-in. Like,
that's true.
Like, everybody get a shot. NBA playoffs, anybody can go. Now, championship, when you get into championship, that's when you kind of need that chemistry and everybody need to be cool, and it kind of matters. But to make the playoffs, right. Man, I'm a Charlotte Hornets fan. And now we done made the last two play-ins and got blown out. But they give you a chance. If you're the 10th seed, you get an opportunity.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
But that's it for Don V Fridays. We want to thank everybody for pulling up, all the listeners of the Trey Turner episode. Stick around. We put out dope shit regardless. But shout out to Trey Turner for coming on. Shout out to all everybody listening and supporting the Trey Turner episode. Shout out to our patrons. Anything you got to say to the people?
Nah, just let's have a good weekend, everyone. Excited to see the people, and we'll get it going.
Yeah, and enjoy your time in Blacksburg. It's a beautiful place, beautiful people.
Oh yeah, it'll be good.
Get as much footage and pictures and all of that. Make sure you take a picture of Frank outside of Lane Stadium. the Frank Beamer statue.
It'll be a huge weekend for all that. I'll put it all on the timeline, you know, just so you can feel even worse for not coming. So it'll be good. you gotta make your appearance.
there may be a special guest appearance. You never know. But that's it, y'all. Till next week. God bless.